addressing it.
Thanks for being with us. Well, we've talked a bit, although not all that much on this show, but we have talked a bit about this new idea of quiet quitting, basically doing the bare minimum. Not really telling anybody that's what you're doing, but doing enough that you can hopefully stay employed, but kind of the opposite of going above and beyond. So that's quiet quitting. But what is overemployed? It seems more and more people, whether it's to make ends meet, whether it's because you can get away with it because you're at home perhaps working, more and more people are now falling under this title of overemployed, working a couple of jobs, and in a lot of cases working two full-time jobs. Well, joining us to talk more about this is Leah Moody, an employment lawyer and partner at Simfuru Tumarkin, LLP. Leah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Happy to be here, Jill. Thanks for having me.
I didn't realize that this was trending or this was something that is happening, but there are even websites dedicated to this on how to get away with it, how to best split up your time to do this. What are your thoughts on people that are now finding themselves or trying to be overemployed by having two full-time jobs?
Honestly, Jill, I had no idea it was a thing either until this morning when I was asked to come on your show. It's what a world we're living in that this is the problem, and what a fortunate thing that we can even have overemployment in our vernacular at this point. But, you know, it initially sort of caused some concerns for me as somebody who works predominantly with employees. Far be it from me to tell somebody, you know, don't work when you need to work, but to the extent that people are trying to do it to, as you put it, get away with it. You know, they're working from home and they're trying to do two jobs at once, or, you know, taking advantage of the fact that they're not being monitored. I would have some real concerns that taking on too much with different companies can cause you to be legally characterized as a contractor. And the problem with that is that if you're legally characterized as a contractor versus an employee, then you have none of the statutory protections under the Employment Standards Act. So nobody, they don't have to pay you minimum wage, they don't have to give you vacation pay, stat holidays are out the window, and most importantly, you're not protected by the severance pay provisions.
And so how would companies, or how would people know, or companies know, in that part of this is the getting away with it part, is you might be a full-time employee with one company, and then you're doing a completely other full-time job with another company. Is it because you couldn't be a full-time job, a full-time employee with both without some kind of alarm bells going off?
Yeah, I'm hard-pressed to believe that somebody can get away with it for a particularly long period of time. I mean, you'd have to imagine that through all the trackers that various employers have introduced throughout the pandemic, there's going to be some way of monitoring somebody's attention. But the opposite viewpoint on that, though, is that if somebody is doing all of the work, right, if somebody's working remotely and doing all of the work that's required of them in their full-time position, most employers probably aren't going to look behind that curtain because there isn't really anything that's causing any concern. My main concern with respect to people who are working two full-time jobs or even a full-time job and a part-time job is what we had discussed earlier about being characterized as a contractor. But a lot of contracts, and by contracts, I mean it could be in an offer letter, it could be in the email that initially was sent to you when employment was offered to you, that could set out very clearly that they want you to spend your full time and attention with that job. And if you are found to be spending your time and attention and energy elsewhere, that could actually potentially give rise for that employer to terminate you for cause because you've now breached the contract and then you're out of 50% of your employment.
Hmm. And would it matter, do you think, that the type of work, in that if you were doing a full-time job with one employer and then you were doing very similar work, say, with another employer, as opposed to, say, you've got a tech job that you do from home during the day or in the office during the day and you bartend a few days a week or in the evenings?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that for the purposes of anybody who has a contract or an offer of employment that requires them to spend their full time and energy on the job, it's not going to matter how similar or dissimilar the two jobs are. But if you are somebody who's in a position of trust, what we would call legally somebody who's in a fiduciary position, so somebody who usually has some sort of control and agency over the affairs of the company, so manager-type position, then you might be held to a higher standard. So even without a contractual we were talking about, working a couple of shifts at a bar might be completely fine. But if you've got a second job at a competitor, that would raise a very serious issue for sure.
Right. And what about if you made the argument, and it would be different, obviously, if you were a senior employee or somebody in one of those roles, like you're mentioning, where you are in a position, maybe you have sensitive information or you're privy to that, as opposed to, say, a more junior associate or junior employee. And the argument being, I need to have this second job. It's the only way I can pay my bills.
Well, exactly. I mean, I think that we're talking about this concept of overemployment as though it's a new term, and almost as though it's, you know, for people who have relatively good jobs who just want to break in some extra cash. But the reality is that there's a pretty considerable contingent of our population, particularly in Vancouver, who have to work multiple jobs. And my experience with people who are in that position is that even with a contractual provision that says you have to devote your full time and energy, most employers, most companies are completely understanding of people who are in that situation. Again, as long as you're doing the work that company needs from you, why would they care?
Right. And why would they even be looking at that unless somebody walked in and at your other place of employment and didn't expect to see you there or somehow found out about it if you were doing your job to the satisfaction to what they wanted?
Exactly. It's really hard to imagine an employer having a real problem with it if it doesn't detract from the work that you're doing. And so I think that really is the takeaway, is that if you are somebody who either wants to or has to work multiple jobs and you can pull it off such that you're performing your duties for both jobs, then all the power to you, in my view.
But what if you are then, to flip that around, if, say, your employer has noticed that your work hasn't been the greatest lately, or maybe since you started working from home, you haven't been as productive, and then they find out that, well, actually, you've had a side hustle or you've had a whole other full-time job going on?
So working another job is not in and of itself going to give the employer grounds to terminate you for cause. I mean, terminate you without giving you any severance, walking you out the door with your banker's box and a pink slip. But if you are somebody who has one of these contractual provisions, if you're in a senior role, if you're working for a competitor, that could give your employer grounds to terminate you immediately for breach of contract or for, you know, not devoting your full time and resources to the company. So I think people who have any sort of contract that requires, that says anything about where they need to devote their time and energy, needs to be particularly careful.
All right. And Leah, I know I'm throwing all of these topics at you that are kind of new, and we haven't been talking about them a lot, but I was curious as well, your thoughts, and we're starting to get a bit of clarification on the federal holiday that was announced for September 19th, or the national holiday. As far as what we know at this point is that it's for federal employees, not federally regulated employees. We know Quebec and Ontario have announced they are not going to be declaring a holiday in those provinces. We're still waiting for BC. What do employees need to know, or what should we be waiting for here?
What John Horgan does. Let's see what the province does in terms of implementing, following suit with making a provincial holiday, which would give, which would make it a day off in BC. But for the time being, until the province enacts something similar to the federal government, it's going to be a regular day for everybody except for the employees of the federal government specifically.
All right. Leah, thank you so much. Always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jill.
Thanks for being with us.